Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I pray that everyone had a good night's rest. No thieves broke in, no fires broke out, and all is well. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am thankful to be awake this morning. I don't know what happened, but I believe the TV watched me last night. I called myself watching Avatar, the water. I realized it's long, but I was asleep. I don't know how it ended. I think I woke up in between somewhere, but gone. Slept real good. Very, very good, actually. So I'm grateful for another day with the Lord. The word that God gave me this morning is, what shall God do for you? Hallelujah. What shall God do for you? What is your situation? What do you need from God today? What do you need from God? He will make a way out of no way. I'm believing God for some miracles in my life. I'm believing God for some changes in my situation. I'm believing God that will work for my good because I love him more than the words can say. I love him because he first loved me. Hallelujah. I was so privileged yesterday to attend the church baptism. We had seven young people joined church on yesterday, well, on Sunday. And we had church on Sunday, had already been baptized. Excuse me. So we had, three or four scheduled yesterday. It was about, six scheduled for yesterday. And I'm getting all emotional. But as one young man, his brother was there. And his brother said, I'm doing it too. And he gave his life to Christ. And this young man went in the water. He just couldn't do anything but keep hugging the pastor. He just kept hugging her. He just kept hugging her. And, you know, you could feel his emotions. You could feel his transformation. He got baptized in the clothes he had on. He didn't even change. He just said, I need this. And he said that as he was said the sinner's prayer, he went through everything. And when this young man came up from the water, he glowed. He glowed, and it just did something to my heart. Because I've known this young man for a long, long time and knew some of his struggles. And to see him give his life to the Lord and to change immediately. He went to the water to be baptized, and he came up a new creature, a new young man in Christ. And I believe in my heart he's going to be zealous. His brother, you know, has joined the church, and he just gave his life. And, you know, we had to work yesterday. We had an earlier baptism for them, and then we had these beautiful children join the church. Well, they couldn't join the church. They don't live here. They are the pastor's grandchildren, and two of them, a grandchild and a great-grandchild, joined the church. I mean, sorry, I keep saying join the church. Maybe they did join the church and I just didn't know it. We are their Springfield church. But they were baptized and it touched my heart. See these children giving their lives to the Lord. Choosing to be baptized. You know, and he had a young lady who was also baptized as well. And it was just beautiful. Just beautiful. Baptism is something that's special. And she said, I'm 41 and I've never been baptized. I was in my 50s when I got baptized again. In 2012, I got baptized again. Because I couldn't go forth as a minister without first baptism, giving my life 100% to the Lord. And God transformed me. My son said, Mom, you were glowing. The Holy Spirit just fell all over me at my baptism. Going through some things. And I had to lay down and die to those things to be reborn to do the work of God. God will take you where you need to go when you need to go there. And I'm just grateful for the complete group of people that were baptized yesterday. What a mighty, awesome day it was to see God work miraculously through young people. How blessed we are to see God work. I felt transformed myself when I saw them go to the water as the song says, take me to the water. Take me to the water to be baptized. Nothing but the righteous. Nothing but the righteous. Nothing but the righteous shall see God. And I want to be able to be in that group of righteous to see the Lord one day. I just thank him so very much for his grace and his mercy and his goodness and his kindness. I just thank God for a new day. And it's a beautiful day. It's a very beautiful day. You know, we had a little bit of rain yesterday. Probably not enough that we need for all of the vegetables and things to grow. But God will provide. He always does. But I just want to present to some and introduce to others my co-host, Mother Valerie. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. And it's a sunshiny day, a bright and beautiful day.
Yes, it is. It's gorgeous. And I am, of course, got to go to work, so let's get started. But, Mother, I just wanted to say, wow, we had a great day yesterday. And it was just beautiful to see babies from, I believe, seven or eight, is 41 kid baptized. You know, we had the new generation, and don't ask me what they're called, Gen Z, Gen X, Gen, I don't know, but it was really nice to see these beautiful children being, giving them their lives to the Lord and going into the water to be baptized. None but the
righteous. What you're saying. It is beautiful, because I remember Tracy got baptized. I was there, and it's just beautiful to see young people go down, especially the children wanting to be baptized. You know, in this day and age, seeing young people, children, asking to be baptized, It's a marvelous sight, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Take me to the water so that I can be baptized, so I can understand how you were feeling. It's just beautiful.
Especially my five-year-old grandson was with me, and he asked me, he says, well, what does it mean? It just touched my heart because he looked and he watched, and like I told him, I said, baptism is not where you can go and play in the water. And he said, and he thought about it. And so he was telling his mom about it yesterday, about baptism, and that you had to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you have to be ready to leave your old self behind and go to the new self. But that is not something to play in the water. Mom, you can't play in the water when you get baptized. And it touched my heart that he understood that it's not something to play with, that you really have to understand what it means. So he says, I can't do it yet. And he told me, he says, and he looked at me, he says, I'm not ready. I said, no, you're not ready. And it's the fact that he, as a little person of 5 years old, knew that he was not ready to be baptized, touched my heart. He said, and he said, I'm not ready. I said, no, you're not. He said, I'll let you know when I'm ready. I said, okay. So it just touched me that he's so smart, and he said, I'll let you know when I'm ready. I was like, okay. But anyway, so we thank God again for awesome pastor and one that listens to the voice of God. When another young man said, I want to be baptized, she didn't say, well, no, you got to come to church and you got to do this. She said, come on. Come on.
Amen.
And the Lord used her, because I watched this young man just hold her so tight. What a mighty God we serve. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this mighty word that is going forth this morning. We thank you for Mother Valerie, Lord God, who has come forth to say, I will serve. I will serve you, Lord. I will read. I will do whatever you ask me to do, God. And I just thank you for this mighty woman of God who gives us joy and gives us laughter, who speaks the truth from wisdom. Lord God, we ask you to bless her and guide her and lead her in the direction you want her to go, God. And as we go forth, God, we ask you to lead. I ask you to lead and guide me, God. I ask you, Lord God, to increase as we decrease, God. We ask that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, Lord God. But you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. You are our Father, God. You are our friend. Call us friends because we belong to you, God. So, Father God, as this word goes forth, I pray that it touches someone's heart, someone's mind, and someone's spirit. In Jesus' name, Lord, your word today says, what can God do for you, Lord? What you can do for us is take us where you need us to go. Lead us where we need to follow. And, Lord God, take control of this day that you have made. We are rejoicing in it. We are your servants to follow you. We are your sheep, and you are our shepherd. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We praise you. We give you honor. And we say, hallelujah. We give you the highest praise. Amen. And the word today just touches my heart. As a widow, you know, I always, as a widow with two sons, two biological sons. I thought of this widow who was there in chapter 4. We'll get to her. But this book touched me because you dealt with a woman who didn't have any children. And then you dealt with a woman who had two sons that she may have to put into slavery to pay off her late husband's debt. And you think about the tragedy of such a thing. To lose everything because of debt. Debt owed to creditors or whomever her husband owed. And she had to deal with that as a parent. The hardest thing in your life is to think you cannot take care of your children. But God, hallelujah. And the word of God says, now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel of Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned for 12 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and mother. But he put away the sacred pillar of Baal and his father that his father had made. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. Now, Misha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and he regularly paid the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But it happened when Ahab died that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Jehoram went out of Samaria at that time and mustered all Israel. Then he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab? And he said, I will go up. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. Then he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, by way of the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here, that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father, the prophets of your mother. Wow. Remember, Ahab and Jezebel were not very much liked by the prophets, considering the fact that they killed the prophets of God. And then Elijah came and said, oh, okay, bring all your little prophets. Call on your little G-God, basically. And let's see them set this wood on fire. Let's see them take this sacrifice. You can't use any kind of stuff. You just got to pray. That's all you can do. They prayed and they hooped and they hollered and they cut themselves and did all kind of stuff. And their altar did not catch a fire. Then Elijah comes, pours water all over everything, over the meat, over the altar, over it all, poured water in a trench even. And then he prayed, and the Lord came, sucked it all up. The meat went on fire, and then the water was sucked up to prove that our God is God. And then when that happened, all the prophets of idolatry were killed. And so Elisha has no love for Jehoram. Doesn't like him because of his parents. And the fact that he's just as wicked as they were, maybe in a different way, but still wicked. And so that's why he looked at him and told him, no. I don't have time for you, little man. Time for your foolishness, because I know who you are. And so let's see what it says. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and prophets of your mother. But the king of Israel said to him, no, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts is, before whom I stand, surely there is not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. I would not look at you nor see you, but now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. But thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. So deliver the Moabites into your hands. Also, you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut down every good tree and stop up every spring of water and ruin every good piece of land with stones. Now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, all who were able to bear arms and older were gathered, and they stood at the border. Then they rose up early in the morning, and the sun was shining on the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood, and they said, this is blood. The kings have surely struck swords and have killed one another. Now therefore Moab to the spoil. So when they came to the camp of Israel, Israel rose up, attacked the Moabites, so that they fled before them, and they entered their land, killing the Moabites. Then they destroyed the cities, and each man threw a stone on every good piece of land and filled it. And they stopped up all the springs of water and cut down all the good trees, but they left the current Arash intact. However, the slingers surrounded and attacked it. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, he took with him 700 men who drew swords to break through to the king of Edom, that they could not. Then he took his eldest son, who would have reigned in his place, and offered him as a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel. So they departed from him and returned to their own land. Wow. What a mess. But again, Israel asked of God. Judah asked of God, what shall God do for you? And God told them what to do. And they won this battle. Because the battles that we fight are not our battles, they are the Lord's. God will be with us in all that we do. All we have to do is trust in the Lord in everything. Do you trust God today? I'm trusting God because God knows my needs. God knows what I need. God knows I got to travel tomorrow. God knows about me. I trust God. Chapter 4, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to listen. My husband is dead. And you know that your servant fears the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your servant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her. And her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lamp stand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. Say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. So he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, No, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. Now the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God on Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant, Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run down to meet her and say to her, it is well with you. It is well with your husband. It is well with the child. And she answered, it is well. Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to put a pin there. This woman giving you not only a place to stay, but your own room, water, shelter, whatever you need. And because she comes to you, you're going to push her away. Gehazi don't have the right attitude. And you'll understand later on that Gehazi needs Jesus. And I'm saying that is a reality. Gehazi needs the Lord in his life. He works for a prophet, but he doesn't have a prophet's heart. But the man of God said, let her alone. Her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. So she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him. But lay my staff on the... And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of him and laid the staff on the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child has not awakened. When Elisha came into the house, there was the child laying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child, and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out over the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came into him, your son. So she went and fell at his feet and bowed to the ground. But she picked up her son and went out. And Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets. So one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it a lap full of wild gourds and came and spiked them into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. Then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened as they were eating the stew that they cried out and said, man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat it. So he said, then bring some flour. And he put it into the pot and said, serve it to the people that they may eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Then a man came from Baal Shalasha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of the barley bread, and newly ripened grain in the knapsack. And he said, give it to the people that they may eat. But his servant said, what shall I set this before 100 men? And he said again, give it to the people that they may eat. But thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over. So he said it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. And what does that remind you of? It reminds you of the feeding of the 4,000. It reminds you of the feeding of the 5,000. It reminds you that Jesus stretched five loaves of bread and two fish. It lets you know that Jesus stretched. Say a few fish and a few loaves of bread. That it all stretches when God needs it to stretch. Whatever you have, God will stretch it. He will make it last. Do what he needs to do to help you. All you have to do is trust in the Lord. I trust you, God, that you will stretch. Whatever I need, you will stretch it. That I can pay every bill. That I can do whatever it is you said I need to do. And as we go back into our lesson from today, that God can do all. What do you ask of God? What are you asking God for today? Are you asking God for finances? Are you asking God for help? What are you asking God for today? What shall I do for you? God loves to take our nothing and make it into something and take our Elisha command. May have seemed silly to the woman, but she obeyed, and God blessed her obedience. God loves to bless his obedient people with gifts far beyond anything they could ever hope for or imagine. Hallelujah. God is in the blessing business, and he will ask you, what do you need from me today? And you got to open up your mouth and speak. What is your need? Don't think that somebody's going to pray your prayer. You can only pray your prayer. You are the only one that knows your need, what despair you're in, whatever is going on in your life. It is you that have to pray. Mama can't pray for you. Daddy can't pray for you. The saints of God can't pray for you. You got to pray for you. And then as they join you, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be a God in the midst. I believe he is in the midst of all of our homes. I believe he's in the midst of our heart, our mind, our spirit, because that's what we have given to God. We got to ask for whatever it is that we need. And what we need the most is more of him. We need more of God in our life. As we go to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 20, he brought him to his mother and sat on her knee till noon and then died. Life is never an unbroken string of joyful blessings and extraordinary miracles. We live on a fallen planet where bad things happen. calls us to trust him, end of the story as well as its beginning. And as I look at this word today, I know God can and will make a way out of no way. We know that in Florida, a young mother murdered in cold blood in front of her 9-year-old son, and her other 3 children saw it happen. The 9-year-old was right by the mother, all because the mother went to ask a neighbor son's iPad that she had taken and wouldn't give back. All because she didn't like the children playing in the yard that was designated for them to play in. And she chose violence and hatred over love and kindness. But understand, this young woman lost her life. And now her mother had to quit her job, care of her 4 grandchildren. But the one thing I know from this tragedy, God will bring an opening of eyes, that God will bring love into this world. And these 4 children will preach a word from God, that these children will learn forgiveness and will not hate because of the actions of one person who chose to hate someone for the color of their skin. Into the gagging on financial indebtedness. Since the Bible leaves no doubt about God's opinion regarding debt, the following 2 verses speak clearly on the subject of paying for 1 per million. Owe no one anything except to love another. But he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Romans 13:8. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Proverbs 22:7. And we are seeing that, mother, every day. The rich ruling over everybody mm-hmm. else. The 1% mm-hmm. having everything. And everybody else having to scrape for the rest. The 1%, the rich, you know, are trying their best to make everybody poor. But we got to keep trusting God, that God will even it all out. That everything will be made whole, because that's God's will. And it says, as a nation, the United States has ignored its truth. One in country is set on the brink of bankruptcy. Millions of people are no more than 60 days away from becoming homeless or in dire financial need. We are brought into a buy now and pay later philosophy that has been sold to us for decades by advertisers who tempt us to believe we must have their product in order to feel good about ourselves and to reject an image of worth. We have swallowed a lie and we are gagging on it. A debt like a mortgage on a house to live in makes sense, but God does not want his people to be unnecessary financial debt. The only thing we are to owe others is our love, which we are to give freely and in tangible form. The price for indebtedness can be high indeed. Listen to the heartfelt cries of widow who said to the prophet Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant fears the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my 2 sons to be his slaves. Prophet associated with Elisha apparently had left his family in debt. The woman appeared to have only one way to repay what her husband owed, sell her children into slavery. We may protest how horrible. How could a parent sell her children to work off of debt? And yet, that is exactly what we in the United States are doing, in strapping our children with a huge national debt. In just a few decades, we have gone from being the world's largest creditor nation to debtor status, and our children will be forced to pay for our foolishness. We are to my borrowers. And I believe in my heart that God takes debt away. Mother, I turn it over to you.
Amen. 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 You know what I like about the Shunammite woman? She knew that her child was dead. And her husband asked her, you know, what's going on? She knew that the baby boy was dead. She knew that her child was dead. And she said, all is well. All is well. I mean, knowing that your child is dead and still was saying all is well. So she went to the prophet, Elijah, and she told him, I did not ask for a child. I did not. And he asked her, what's going on? And she kept on saying, all is well. All is well, even to the prophet. And then she told him, I did not ask for a child. So he knew when she fell at his feet that she was in great distress. He knew that. God had shown him that, but God didn't tell him what was wrong with her. So then he went to the child and told the servant to take the staff, lay it upon the child, and nothing happened because the child was dead. Then he laid upon the child. And God brought that baby back. But that lady, I mean, I loved her faith. She kept on telling people all was well, when she knew that that baby was dead. Wow. Psalm 71, 17 and 24. Go ahead, Pastor. You want to say something?
No, I'm just go for it. It's all good. God is good.
Yeah. All the time, but she knew that her baby was dead. I don't know. I mean, that took a lot of faith to say all is well to her husband and to the prophet. Psalm 71:17-24. Oh God, you taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous work. Now also when I'm old, gray-headed, oh God, do not forsake me. And that's where I'm at. I'm old and gray-headed. And God has not forsaken me. I thank God that he's with us until the very, very end. And even when you're old and gray-headed, that's what the Bible said. Since in 2 months I'll be 80, I have gray hair, and I'm old. Until I declare your strength to this generation, power to everyone who is to come. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, oh, God, who's like you? There's nobody like our God. When he asks, oh, God, who is like you? The bells aren't like him. The calves aren't like him. There's nobody like God. God is God. There's only one great I am, Abba, Father. Who is like you? Nobody. Who can create the heaven and the earth? Nobody. Who can make people, create people? And the moon and the stars and say, be. Tell the waters to stand still and don't go no farther. Nobody. So who is like you? Nobody. You have shown me great and severe troubles. Shall revive me again? Bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness. Comfort me on every side. Also with the flute, I will praise you. And your faithfulness, oh, my God, to you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, my soul, which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek my hurt. Wow, Proverbs 18:9. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. Life lesson, Psalm 71:24. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all day long. While faith is a deeply personal affair, God never meant for it to be a solitary affair. We usually love speaking about what gives us joy. If God is our joy, then he should also be on our tongue. Well, that's true. You know, every time you meet somebody, you talk about what gives you joy. So usually when I meet a person, I might not ask them, you know, if they are Christian, But I make sure that I bring up the name of Jehovah. I bring up Abba Father. I bring up, you know, God's name. What church do you belong to? Or I'll tell them what church I belong to. I'm going to bring God's name up to let them know that God exists. I mean, in the line of conversation, it said, if God is our joy, then he should also be on our tongue. And I try to do that. I really do try to bring his name up. John 17:1-26, Jesus spoke these words, lift up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, hour has come. Glorify your son, that your son also may glorify you, as you've given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I've manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world. I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you've given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I've kept. None of them is lost, except the son of prediction, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you. And these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your words, and the world hated them because they're not of the world. Just as I'm not of the world, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And he's talking about us, that we believe in him through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one just as we are, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you've loved me. Father, I desire they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold your glory which you've given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I've known you, and these have known that you have sent me. And I declare to them your name, and will declare it, that the love in which you love me may be in them and I in them. That's a prayer that Jesus was praying. And what he prayed to God not only for the disciples, but he also was praying for us, people that would believe the word that the disciples spoke. I mean, we haven't seen Jesus, but we believe what they spoke over 2,000 years ago. So he was praying for us as well as for them, that we all become one. You know, the words say, and God says, and Jesus speaks, love one another, little children, just as I have loved you. He wants us to love one another. And there are some people in the world which is hard to love, but he still said, love your enemies. Love. In the Old Testament, it was an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. If somebody hits you, knock them out. If somebody, wanted to kill you, if you got an opportunity, kill them first. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But in the New Testament, it's love your enemies. Love everybody. If somebody smacked you in the face, then you turn the other cheek. And right now, you know, that's a hard thing to do, and I wonder if I can do it. I mean, I'm still growing in the Lord. If somebody hits you, the flesh wants to hit back. But if we do what the Lord say do, we just turn the other cheek. We won't hit people back. We'll pray for them. And like I said, right now, I don't know if I can do it. It's a hard, you know, hard thing to do. Because anytime somebody hit you, smack you right in the face, the first thing that comes to your mind, even though you saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, is hit back. So, you know, I just thank and praise God for the things that he's telling us to do. In Jesus' name, I thank God for all things. And I hope, you know, if that ever happens to me, that I have the strength to walk away. For God is a good God. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, but people take you by surprise. They come up and pop you one. That's a surprise. Like in New York when instinct is to hit back.
Correct. Instinct is to hit back. Because that's what we're taught as children. So let nobody hit you and you don't hit them back. And so the instinct, if somebody touches you, grabs you, or does, is to just start swinging. And, you know, we have to be very careful as Christians with that, is to be careful that we don't just swing out and hit out and go back and go backwards, you know, and let the old person that you were before salvation come out. The old person that you were may have been a cursor. The old person that you were may have been a fighter. The old person that you were may have been one that would just cut you. You know, so we have to be very careful how we treat our fellow men. And I just had a word that just kind of flows with your word for this morning, Mother, and mine. And it says, we are family, is our prayer for today. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14-15. Perfect Father, in you I find a parent I never knew I needed. You are better than my mother or my father, and I am faithfully found secure in the love. There's that love word, Mother, that you freely offer. I am so grateful that you do not make individuals to act independently of each other. You have set us families, and every person on earth is your descendant. When I am quick to judge others as strange or undesirable, would you fill me with the compassion of a family member, the kind of compassion that love prefers? I humble myself before you, Father. Teach me your ways of kindness that draw people in rather than push them out. I submit myself to you, wanting to know you in the context of brothers and sisters who receive the same love, care, and affection from you, the perfect parent. Thank you for the reminder that we are all made in your image with no exception. And the question was today, do you treat others with the same respect or compassion you would a family member? And that is about love. And our word from Sister Carolyn, it's the word we started with this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it and have a thankful Thursday. If there's anyone else that would like to speak this morning, now is the time to, number one, on your phone or on your device, because it's all about love. What are you asking God for today? What shall God do for you? And Mother spoke very eloquently. God wants us to love. to love each other as he loved us, to the point where he gave his only son for our sinful self. What a mighty God we serve. Alicia, in all that he did, you know, he never once didn't do what he was asked to do. This woman came and she said, I'll ask you for anything. And he went and he gave mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to this child. He laid on him. He gave him warmth. He healed his body. And you know, we want to say, well, Jesus is the only one that raised the dead. No, he's not. God gave that power to the prophet of old.
Amen.
Elisha did it. We know Elijah did it. Again, mothers and sons. Son and mother coming up. Only son to this mother. And all he did was wake up. Man got up out of the casket, basically, and went back to work to help to take care of his mom.
Amen.
You know, God gives power to his prophets. And we have to believe that. God's got us covered. He's got you covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. All you have to do is trust God. And just, I lift my hand this morning. You can lift yours too. And say, Lord God, I trust you. I trust you in my coming in and I trust going out. I trust you to wake me up and I trust you to put me to rest, Lord God. I trust you in all manner of that in Jesus' name. And as we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other in Jesus' name. We pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family, knowing that God's got us covered. All we have to do is ask him or tell him what we need. What shall God do for you today? One thing I can tell you that God will do for you today, mother, is love you just like I do. And there's nothing you can do about it except for love you back and love God. Thank you all
Amen.
For joining Mother Valerie and myself today. I am planning on doing a show tomorrow. It may be a little bit different, but I'm going to ask Mother Valerie to read tomorrow. And we're just going to ask you guys to call in and talk about it. So, Mother Valerie, you have the whole show tomorrow because I will be traveling with the church for our annual trip with our children. As youth pastor, I am going to be on the trip. So I just asked Mother to read for you all. I will be listening in, and I will be controlling the dashboard so that if anyone wants to give Mother a hand, please do so. Raise that hand and we'll talk about it. So thank you so much, everybody. Be blessed and have a great day. Mother and I will let you know if you call in at 7 and there is no show is scheduled, you will know that we are not doing a show until Monday. But if you hear the show is scheduled, then we'll go for it, okay? So thank you so much, family. Have a blessed day.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. And
it
again,
is
as Sister Taylor says, may the Lord, hallelujah. But say, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice. Glad in it. I'm going to have a thankful Thursday, Mother. Pray you have a thankful Thursday as well. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.
It is a wrap.
I got to go to work. Love you all.